So the third way God answers, and you can write this down in your notes, is this. He answers by giving you an invitation. He offers you an invitation. When you have an unanswered question, here's the invitation. Wayne, will you follow me even though you don't understand? See, a lot of us won't. But God is saying, here's the invitation. Will you follow me even though you don't understand?
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Yesterday, we began a message where Pastor Wayne showed us some of the ways in which God answers our prayers, not the least of which is the silent treatment. We may not like it, but it can be a very effective means of communication. Just ask any married man. Well, here's Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, when life leaves more questions than answers.
But sometimes God doesn't just answer with silence. Sometimes he answers, and here it is, not with an answer, but with a promise. With a promise. You see, a promise is far more reaching. The promises of God, there are 3,500 promises in the Bible. And by the way, every single one of them is yours. But the promise is forever faithful. The promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. They will never change. God is faithful to his word. How many of you say amen to that? Amen. He is faithful to his word. But yet we want an answer. And God doesn't want to give us a shallow answer that simply lasts for today and tomorrow we're stumbling again. He instead gives us a promise and says, can you hang on to the promise? Because there's a ton of questions that one promise will answer. I'm going to give you a promise. Well, I just want an answer. No. I'm going to give you a promise because God sees things at a 32,000 foot level. And he says, if you'll catch this and believe this, you'll be so far better off. But we just want an answer for today. But sometimes that answer doesn't last. God gives us a promise. In fact, some time ago when I was in Hilo pastoring there, there was a lady that had cancer. And boy, I began to pray for her. God, heal her. I would fast and pray for healing. And the Lord gave me a word for her about the faithfulness of a wife. And I thought, now is not the time for marriage counseling, God. I need this woman to get healed. And God gave me a promise, but I needed an answer. And so I prayed, and you know what? It was at a service. The tumor that this woman had disappeared. I thought, yes, this is so cool. I was just so enthralled and excited. Fast forward the tape. 8 months later, she divorces her husband and goes off with another guy. And I thought, woman, God just healed you. But you see, we wanted a temporary answer, and God wanted an eternal promise. And see, his promises are so much better. But I was so set on needing an answer now. And God is saying, I'm going to give you a promise, Wayne, and this is what you need to declare to her. And if she'll live under this promise, everything else will take place. I'll not only remove that tumor, I'll give her a future and a hope. Sometimes we just want this taken care of, and God is saying, well, what about this? And if God gives you a promise, take a hold of that promise and live with that promise. Well, I can't because I need an answer. God is saying, if I gave you an answer right now, see, the promise you can hang on to. But if I gave you an answer at this moment in your life, it's my life there. If I gave you an answer here, you don't yet, Wayne, have the maturity here or the emotional stability that if I gave you an answer, you still wouldn't be able to accept it because your immaturity here will overrule my truth and my wisdom. Because God sometimes at this immature stage, I still have a lot more to grow, at this immature stage here, God can give you the right answer. But if I'm prideful, if I'm stubborn, I'll go, well, I don't care. Well, the reason it's like this is because of your poor leadership. No, it's not. It's their fault. God could give you a truth, and you're not able to receive it because you haven't matured to that point yet. So what God does is he waits for you to grow, but you have to be okay following God with unanswered questions. See, here's what we do. Something happens right here. We go, what? Why did that happen, God? If you really loved me, that wouldn't have happened. And we fold our hands in anger and angst, and we say, I'm not going to this stupid church anymore. I'm done. That's how God's going to treat me, then I'm finished. And we go off for 8 or 9 months until maybe something over here happens. Bang! Oh, I need God. And then I go back to church. And then I start walking again. And then a few months later, some Christian does something, reacts poorly, says something degrading to you. I'm going, wow, these Christians. I hate these Christians. This stupid church. I'm not going to go here anymore. We fold our hands and drop out. 4, 5, 6 months later, someone tells you, oh, we're so sorry that person probably said that to you. That person's suffering with a debilitating disease, and he or she was hurting with a chronic pain, so they probably said something out of their pain, not out of their heart. Oh, yeah, oh, I didn't know that. Okay, I'll go back to that stupid church then. All right, okay. Now we start walking again. And then something else happens, and we go, that's it. That's it. I gave you 3 chances. That's it. And we go back to medicating ourselves in the secular society because I don't want to have anything to do with that. And then an accident happens. We go, oh, God, okay, I'll go back to that stupid church. And then we start walking again. Now, right here is where your growth is, from here to here. But because you let an unanswered question stop you, after many years, you've only grown this much. Here's what I'd rather have us do. In my head, if I open my cranium, you would see a vast amount of space of nothing. But from the top of my cranium, there swings a wicker basket in the breeze. And when I have an unanswered question, like, what? I take that, write it down on a piece of paper, open my cranium, stick it in my wicker basket, and I just keep walking with unanswered questions. Because I know God is true, and I may not understand, but I'm going to trust His promises more than my comprehension. And so I keep walking. And then all of a sudden, boom, what? Huh? I put that in my wicker basket, and I keep walking with God. Another thing happens, and I put it in my wicker basket and keep going. And there will be a defining moment somewhere along the line where God stops you. You might be in a hospital room. You might be in a church service where God's going to open that and say, hey, you know this one question here? Let me answer it. And you'll hear something. You'll go, oh, that's it. But you see, if you would have let that unanswered question stop you, you would be that immature yet in the Lord. But I've walked with God, and He'll answer it along the way. By the way, that's what happened with Jeremiah. Jeremiah was way back here. And he said, God, why are you treating Israel so poorly? This is so bad. If you loved us, why are we under oppression? And God spoke to Jeremiah and said, Jeremiah, keep walking until you get to the potter's house. And then I'll answer your question. Now, we don't know if that's 8 months, 10 months, 10 miles away, 50 miles away. The potter's house is somewhere over there. So Jeremiah has to walk with unanswered questions until he gets to the potter's house. Jeremiah did that too. He had unanswered questions. So he walks all the way, and we don't know again if it's 8 months, 10 months, whatever, but finally he gets to a potter's house, and there as he enters the potter's house, he sees shards of clay. He smells the clay. He sees the wet hands of a potter smeared with clay, seated at a spinning wheel, and he's molding something. And Jeremiah pauses and watches him. And as that lump of clay forms into sort of a cylindrical form, and then the potter pushes it back down again. Ooh! And then he forms it again. And maybe there's a shard that's going around. He goes, whoa, and he stops, and he picks that thing out. And then he pushes it down again. And he forms it one more time. And he pushes it down a third time and then forms it again more carefully. And once it's at its most perfect stage, God speaks to Jeremiah. He says, Jeremiah, do you see that? Can I not do with Israel what the potter is doing with the clay? He isn't destroying the clay. He's fashioning it into a vessel fit for its use. I am the potter. You are the clay. And Jeremiah says, got it. You see, there's going to be times where maybe a service like this will be a potter's house for you. Something will be explained and you'll go, got it. But what God does is he expects you and me to walk and follow him based on the promises, not based on our comprehension of the promise. Based on his faithfulness, not our understanding of his faithfulness. So you're going to walk, David did, walk, Jeremiah did, walk with unanswered questions. And God's going to bring you to a potter's house. It could be at the hospital. It could be at a small Bible study. It could be just reading in your devotions. But there's going to be potter's houses that you're going to enter, maybe 15, maybe 20 in your lifetime. And there you're going to see something. God's going to show you something. And you'll go, got it. But thank the Lord you walked with unanswered questions. And God will bring you to a potter's house and say to you, I am the potter, you're the clay. I remember when a friend of mine died early. It was only mid-30s. And let's say this is a lifeline here. Here's your life. And over here is the end of life. Now, we think the end of life should be, you know, if a guy's around 90 or 92, and if he dies, like, oh, you've had a long life. But a friend of mine died way over here, 35 years old. And I said, God, that's way too young. Look at his life that he still had in front of him. And you took him here, and this guy was a Christian. And you took him way too early. And then the Lord reminded me, there was one that I took home at 33 and a half. Guess who that was? The Son of God. Jesus bore our redemption at the cross at 33 and a half. Does that sound like too young for you? Sure does, doesn't it? But you know what the Bible said? When I took him, this was called the fullness of time. In other words, it's at the right moment. Because you see, what God did, he looked at all of eternity, not just a life. He looked at all of eternity and God's plan, because the Father loves us and he will never leave us as orphans. And everything he does because he loves us. And he gives us a promise. And he says, I want you to understand that I will love you and my plans for you are not for your calamity. I see the end from the beginning. And you only see it through a slit in the fence. You're only looking at life through a knot hole. And I see everything at once. And what God says is when I get to heaven, even though I don't understand this stuff, God is saying, when you get to heaven, I'm going to show you the video of the rest of his life. And I looked at his life and I thought the best time to take him home in order to give him eternity, not just a few more years, eternity is right here. And I do that because I love him more than you'll ever realize. Because one day I'm going to show you the video. And let's say, and this is just theoretical, but let's say his life starts doing this. He goes with the wrong people, makes a mistake, goes into prison, something goes wrong, and then he rejects God. Here's when he dies. You want him to live to 90 and reject God. Now, he's forfeited his eternity. But I look at eternity and say the best time or the fullness of time is right here. Why? Because I love him forever, and you love him just for this life. So if you will trust me, Proverbs 3:5-6, here's the promise. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will straighten your paths. And then we say, that's it. And you see, when we get to heaven, God's going to show us, He's going to run the video of the rest of this guy's life. Now, you'll have to watch the video for about 60 years to get to the end of it. But in eternity, 60 years isn't too bad. But your movie is going to go for 60 years, if you like. And then at the end of the video, you'll say, ah, you took him here. And now he's spending eternity with you. And I would have had my way, he would have lived a few more years and spend an eternity away from you. And when you're done with the video, you will fall on your knees and say, thank you, God, for overriding my foolish prayer and not answering it. You are so far wiser. As the heavens are above the earth, so are your ways above my ways, your thoughts above my thoughts. And I trust in you with all my heart. And I will lean not on my own understanding. Do you understand? And the ways of God are so much greater. And then we begin to say, thank you, God. So the third way God answers, and you can write this down in your notes, is this. He answers by giving you an invitation. He offers you an invitation. When you have an unanswered question, here's the invitation. Wayne, will you follow me even though you don't understand? See, a lot of us won't. But God is saying, here's the invitation. Will you follow me even though you don't understand? A lot of times, you know, you have to think of it this way. We trust the Federal Aviation Agency, the FAA. We trust them more than we do God. Right? Do you understand aeronautics? What about altitude or attitude of wind shear, a wind lift? Do you know, understand anything of that? No, but we will pay through the nose to get on an airplane that we don't understand. We trust the FAA more than we do God. We don't understand God, but He understands us, and He knows the end from the beginning, and He says, trust the Lord with all your heart. So please, here's the invitation. Will you walk with me, yet with unanswered questions? And I promise I will bring you to a potter's house where you will understand everything. And if not, when you get to heaven, I have a whole library of videotapes. And you will fall on your knees after every movie and say, how good is our God? And you will sing. Let me finish with this. I have a friend in Orchidland Estates on the Big Island, and he's been a potter, speaking of Jeremiah, in the potter's house. He's been a potter and for about 35, 40 years, so he really knows his stuff. And he built his own kiln, which is an oven. And when you heat the stuff up for clay vessels to harden them, the kiln is heated at 2,000 degrees. It's one hot thing. So he has this kiln, and I said to him, how do you know when, how long to keep the vase in there? Because you've got thin vases, big vases, bowls, etc. He says, well, I've been doing it for a long time, so I kind of know. I said, no, but how do you know? Because today you have digital thermometers, and you have little rolling things that kind of move it through the oven. It's all automated. He said, yeah, no, this is manual. It's like they did it in the old days. So I said, well, how do you know when it's ready to come out? He said, well, I kind of know. I said, no, tell me. And this I'll never forget. He says, you know what? I get the vessel, and I mold it on my spinning wheel, my wheel that goes around. And when it's done, I put it on a shelf to dry because it's so wet. It's got to dry yet. You don't put it straight in the kiln. And it might dry overnight or maybe for 2 days. And it just sits there. Then I put it in this kiln. Push it in, and I close the door. 2,000 degrees. And then I kind of know when it's ready, depending on how big the vessel is, and I open the door. He said, I pull it out, and I thump it on its edge, on its rim. Boop. And if the sound isn't quite right, I put it back in. I said, what do you mean the sound isn't right? He said, well, I've been doing this for so long, I kind of know the sound each one should make when I thump it. I said, like what? He said, well, if I thump it and it has kind of a thud, then I know the water content is too much. It's not enough, baked enough. So I put it back in. And then I kind of know, I bring it back out, I thump it again. And if it's still a thud, doesn't sound right, I put it back in. And then, he says, then I'll bring it out. And this is really cool. He said, I'll thump it, and when it sings, I know it's ready. I'm going to pause the story. And I want you to see with me the last two verses of Psalm 13. How David ends up. Let's read it together. After he vents, let's read what his conclusion is. Are you ready? Go. But, and stop there. That tells me he's changing gears. Here it is. Go. But I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. The last verse. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. You see, David was called a man after God's own heart and one of God's greatest young men. Why? Not because he had all the answers, but because he trusted God even when his were unanswered. And he said, I will sing. And when I thought of that, I remembered that guy thumping the edge of that vessel. And I thought, that's it. That's who we are. You see, we're like those vessels, and God says, he starts building your life. And you think everything's going good, and the Lord just goes, boom. You go, what is this? I'm doing good. Shut up. We're going to do it again here. And then, ooh, whoa, 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 let's pull this thing out. No, I like that. No, it's going out. What? Why are you doing this? Come on. And then he finally shapes us, and we go, oh, whoa, now, we're going good. And then God puts us on a shelf, like for 2 days. I'm going, whoa, 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 I'm good. Come on, now I'm ready. I can teach classes now. Who do you want me to counsel? The Lord says, then you're just going to sit on the shelf for a while. What is this? Dry out. Oh, wow. And then when we think we're ready, he puts us in an oven, 2,000 degrees. Things don't go like we thought they would. I got a lot of unanswered questions now. I need to talk to you, God. Are you going to forget me like forever? Please listen to me. Whew. Man, it's hot. And God takes us out. Whew, finally, and he thumps us on the head. Boom. What are you doing that for? Okay, you're not ready yet, are you? Then he pulls us out again. And we think, finally, finally. And he thumps us. Boom. Hell, that's what you do that for. You know how hot it is. It's like Hades. It's like hell in there. Work you go. And turns up that heat. And it's hot. And we think we are. And then God pulls us out. Thumps us again. Finally. Okay, back in you go. Until finally we think we're dead. Maybe it's the flesh part of us that needed to be burned out. Maybe it's our attitude that needed to be burned out. Maybe it's our perspective. Maybe it's our judgmental critique and cynicism. Maybe it's us blaming everybody else, that God keeps us in that kiln until it burns out. And finally, when he burns it out, some of the stuff in our lives, he has to burn out, doesn't he? Because we won't let it go. And finally, when it burns out, and he pulls us out, and we say, hallelujah, Lord, I love you. You rescued me. And he thumps you. Bing. And we sing. And God says, now, you're ready. That's the kind of people we want to be. Understand the ways of God. Everything that he does for you is because he loves you. And if things go bad, it's not because God turned away. It's because we did. Stay in his hands. He will rescue us. And when he pulls you out, even though he thumps you on the head, learn to sing. And when you do, God says, now, you're ready. That's the kind of people we want to be here at New Hope. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Let's stand together.
You've been listening to a message entitled, When Life Leaves More Questions Than Answers, by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for listening. For those of you in Oregon, we invite you to worship each Sunday at New Hope West on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene. Pastor Wayne will share a message that will strengthen you in your walk as you launch into a brand new week. That's New Hope West in Eugene, Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, go to newhopewest.com. Until next time, God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves? That place is New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.